Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to I'm gonna make
psychic
it all
readings.
Come through what Brenda said. Welcome to Psychic Readings on the Essence of Success Radio Network. This is your host Linus and co-host Brenda, and of course Nina is in our chat room. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. And again, welcome to Psychic Readings, and happy Father's Day to all the men in the world. Happy Father's Day, whether you've had children or not, or took time to love someone else's child or show them love and nurturing. Happy Father's Day. Also, happy Father's Day to the women in the world that have had to pull double duty as single parents. So I'm wishing all of you the very best. I have some announcements, but before I do that, let me introduce my co-host, Brenda.
Hello.
And, of course, Miss Nina in the chat room, our moderator. Okay. Anyway, so I'll go ahead with our announcements. I have some birthdays. Laura Barkley, happy birthday. Her birthday is today. Laura, I hope you're having a good time. Hope you're out on the water sailing somewhere. Happy birthday to our cousin Sandy Kay in San Jose. And happy birthday to Gail Roebuck, our cousin also in San Jose. And happy anniversary to Nina, our manager of the Essence of Success Radio Network. Her and her husband, Jim, are celebrating their 40th anniversary. So, wow.
Woo-hoo!
And I've got, yes, woo-hoo. Where is my little, can you believe that, folks? I usually have my little sound bite thing here, but, of course, I'm always prepared. That's what I'm for. This is for Nina and Jim. Yes, 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 yes. We're just so happy for them. So
yeah.
Anyway, other than that, since we don't have any callers right now, which I guess is kind of pretty nice, it's Father's Day. So Brenda made a very good suggestion about why don't we talk about our fathers. Now, if you call in for a reading, we will stop and address you. But until then, we're going to talk about our fathers or husbands or father-in-laws and uncles that have made a difference in your life, who they are. So I guess I'll start with my father.
Daddy Joe.
Joseph Boyd. My father was black, Indian, and Jewish. I want to say this because my father's grandmother was German. She was a white German woman. So anyway,
so why do you
German
think she's
Jewish?
Jewish?
Yeah. So
why do you think
Jewish?
She's Jewish? Huh?
Because I was told that. I asked and I was told.
Oh.
That she was a German, white German lady and Jewish. Yeah. I come over here to settle. Ended up marrying an Indian and black man. But anyway, so my father was a tall man, about 6'1", 6'2", very light, very handsome man. He almost could pass for a white person. Very good looking, coal black curly hair, and his features were kind of, I don't know, you want to say a little bit Indian, Brenda, or Mediterranean, the high cheekbones and the narrow nose.
He had very Native American looking features.
Yeah.
High cheekbones,
yes. And the narrow nose, I agree. So what kind of man, and my father, well, I'll tell you this, we both had our birthdays in January, so I'm January 13th, and my father was January 20th, and we click. I'll admit it, I've admitted it before, I was closer to my dad than I was to my mother. My mother and I were kind of estranged, but my dad was my heart, because not only we were in the same month of birthdays, but he had great wisdom. And he would talk to me in the matter of looking at yourself before you judge another person. What have you done in your life to make it a better world? Or what have you done to be a better person, you know, to the people that you're around? So I really appreciated that. And he loved his grandchildren. He was a good man. My father was quiet. He was a very quiet man. He wasn't a man to do a lot of talking and stuff. He never talked about anybody. Daddy was not a gossiper. Don't go to him or whatever with that, because he was not a gossiper. He just listened and just like, okay, but he wasn't going to say one way or the other. Also, my father was a businessman. He owned property in Louisiana. Him and mother had a grocery store down there, and I believe they had a duplex at one time. And, of course, their houses. But he was good. My father was a hustler, but he was good. He worked on the trains for a while as a porter. He also was a hustler. He was a darn good pool shark, from what I heard from other relatives. And when they moved up here in the 40s to Washington State, he worked for Sternoff Metals, which is no longer in existence. But he was a metal fabricator for, I think, 28 years or something like that before he retired. One thing I must tell you about my dad that was kind of funny but good, my father, I guess it was the Jewish side of him, he could hold money till the green turned turquoise or whatever, but Daddy was like this. You could go to him. My father, it was nothing for my father to carry $300 to $500 in his pocket. That was just him. He carried that kind of cash. Why? I'm glad today my father is not living, because he'd probably get hit in the head and get hurt or killed. But back then in the 60s, that was just Daddy. He kept money in his pocket. So,
right, that was just Daddy. That wasn't because he had any Jewish in him.
Yeah.
That was
just him.
Some kind of stuff. So we don't really believe in that. You don't have to be a certain race to
no,
do well.
No, that's true. Okay.
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 So go on.
Yeah, but anyway, if we went to him and asked him for money, it didn't matter whether it was $100, $200, $300. He would give you the cash right then. But this was the thing. When's your payday? Oh, Dad, I get paid next Friday. Be here next Friday with my money in full, or you don't ask anymore. You know, that man never had to worry about when we borrowed money from him. He got it back. Because if you didn't have his money, it wasn't like, well, Daddy, can I give you $100 now, or can I give you $50? No. If you borrow $300 from him on your payday, you better be there to see Joe Boyd with the $300, not $250 or $299, $300. Otherwise, don't ask him any more for money, which was a good lesson. I have to admit, it was really good. Of course, through our lives, as we have helped people out or stuff, we haven't always got money back to us. But anyway, that was good. And he also had this, that when you turned 18, you had a choice. You either went to college or you found your apartment, because you were not going to be living there as a grown person with him and Rena Boyd. It was not going to happen. So in a way, I found that very good, because it made us be independent. Also, to be educated, not only just to be independent, but get your education so that you can stand on your own two feet. But you're just not going to lay around here with your mom and I and not do nothing. So I appreciate Daddy for that. I appreciate him teaching me about money. It took me a long time to get to that point. I was almost 40, because you don't pay for nothing. Don't get anything that you can't pay for. Or you can't make the payments on it. And that was one thing. My father's credit was so good, y'all, that when he went to get a brand-new station wagon for him and mother, he just went in there and signed his name. He didn't have to put nothing down. Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Enjoy the car. Because that's how good his credit was. Today, that would probably be considered in the 900s or whatever. But He did. He had excellent, excellent credit. And I always wanted to be there one day like my dad, like I could go buy anything I want. And in the beginning, when I first got married, we did. You know, but like anything in life, you learn through trials and tribulations and experiences, you know, how to pay your bills, how to budget, and different things like that. So anyway, but that was my father. I loved him dearly, and him and I could clown with him and enjoy. He liked to have his beer. That was his thing.
Well,
Daddy liked to have his beer.
Huh? You need to tell some stories about the man. Now, I will say about Daddy Joe, he always had money. Like she said, when we were little kids, he's my grandfather. He would just, every time we came into the house, that was the one I would want to go hang with, because my grandmother was, she was almost like frenetic. So for her, it was just, being around her was a little too jarring for me most of the time. And so I would go and either sit on Daddy Joe's lap when I was really little. I would just sit on his lap until my grandmother came in there fussing, because my grandfather would just basically, he had a little room, sort of like, it was a little mini man cave back back of the house. He had his little black and white TV, and he'd sit there, watch that, drink that beer, and he would, you know, I'd just say, hi, Daddy Joe, and I could just, you know, he'd let me crawl up in his lap, and I would just sit there, and whatever he was watching, and I would just kind of hang there. I didn't care about the smoke, because he was so quiet, and he didn't do anything to, you know, make me nervous. And unfortunately, I had hay fever pretty bad as a child, so that my grandmother would also fuss about that, because I put a scare in her one time, so she didn't like me being around any, I don't know, whatever. But Daddy Joe with the money, when we were kids, he would just reach in his pocket and he'd pull out big handfuls of money. It would be dollar bills and dollar coins, silver dollars, quarters, dimes, it was everything. And Cheryl and Mark would grab the dollar bills in a heartbeat. Cheryl would grab the dollar coins, and I, little numbnuts Brenda, I would grab the little nickels, because he had the real shiny sides on them. That's probably why I went into glass blowing, because I'm a nut for shine. But, yeah, Daddy Joe was just, and he wouldn't say anything. He'd just kind of hold the hand out to us, and I would kind of look at it like it was just almost too much. And he'd say, go ahead. But, yeah, Cheryl and Mark would go right at it. Me, I'd just be looking at all the coins, like, pretty. Yes, folks, it's true. I was daft.
And I
but,
must...
yeah, tell us some stories. I know some story about Daddy Joe. Let's hear some stories now. Tell us about what happened the last time he was out in the field doing his gambling stuff back in the South. Tell him about when he stopped doing that. I know you know that story.
No, all I know is Amy Easter told me that he was gambling out in the fields, and she said something chased him out that field. He never went back.
Yeah, but he did it on Sundays. When everyone else was in church, Daddy Joe would be out there gambling in the field.
You know what? Oh, I guess. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that story.
Oh, yeah, he was out there in the fields gambling on Sundays.
I will say this about Daddy.
Huh?
He made sure that we went to church, I'll tell you that, and it actually surprised us, because Daddy knew the Bible very well. And Uncle Douglas was the one that told us, yeah, Daddy always knew the Bible. But he made sure we went to church. Daddy didn't go.
Oh, yeah.
But we went to church, and I mean went to church.
What I heard the story is it was Sundays that he would go out there and gamble, so while everyone was in the church, he'd be out in the field. He wouldn't go into church with y'all, but he took y'all to church. That was in Louisiana. And then
well,
one time he came up out of them fields, I think it was Aunt Maisie that told me that, and he was almost white as a ghost. And whatever he saw, whatever happened to him, that was the last time he
He never did that no more. He didn't go back. I don't know. Maybe the grace of God scared the mess out of him. I don't know.
Grace happened in the South, just like in the garden of the, what is it, like midnight in the garden of
good and evil.
Whatever that, Yeah.
Midnight in the garden of good and evil. Good and evil.
That's right. Strength and kitchen in the South, folks, honestly.
Now, I also want to give a shout-out to, and I'll let you begin, Brenda and Nina, before she goes. I want to give a shout-out to Sherman, to my ex-husband. He may not have been the best husband in the world, but he loved the kids. Now, the kids, he'd go up against anybody. You didn't mess with the kids. You didn't mess with his nieces and nephews. And I'll give Sherman that. He was... once when Cheryl was staying with us and she was dating this guy, his name was Salem, and Sherman just really did it on purpose to call this boy Winston, Tarek, everything except Salem. I told him, stop doing that, because that was Cheryl's boyfriend. Well, anyway, he had took Cheryl out one night, and when Cheryl left to go out, I told her, I said, you know, Uncle Sherman's out, so you be careful, because if he gets back home before you do, you know. And so she said, oh, no, I'll be back. I'll be back in a little while, ain't Lee. And I said, okay. Well, Sherman got back before her, and he was sitting on the steps. If Brenda, remember, we had a split-level house, and he was sitting on the steps waiting for Cheryl. Cheryl came in. Where was the boy to escort her to the door? Sherman believes in that. You make sure that she got in all right and she's safe. He got mad. He told Cheryl, where's the boy? He's outside. He's leaving. And Sherman went out there and told him, let me tell you, you don't ever, ever. He scared that boy so bad that the next time that he took Cheryl out, he had her home at 10 o'clock. He was so
Didn't Uncle Sherman have his gun with him that time, too?
No.
I heard that story differently.
No,
but I don't know, but I heard that story differently.
That young man.
Yeah.
No.
Uncle
he
Sherman
just went out
is,
and read the Riot Act.
Uncle Sherman is from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right.
That's right. And there are ways that women are treated, and there are ways that women aren't supposed to behave, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. It's just real Southern stuff, folks. If you're not from the South, some of this stuff may not really sound realistic to you, but there's a whole culture about the way you do things and how you talk to people and what you do with your family. And even though my family had moved here from Shreveport, there were things that we couldn't say and we couldn't do that other people that we grew up around were allowed to do. Because that's the way they did things in the North. But even though we were born here, you couldn't do that stuff around anyone in our family. And,
and
because
you had to have respect.
They were still, it was a big group of them that ended up here from the South. And all we didn't stay in daycares and stuff. We stayed with grandmothers
family.
And aunts and cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And so they carried on all the Southern traditions. All of them.
But Sherman, I just like that he won't go off into that tangent. But anyway, I just like the way that he did treat the kids good, and I appreciated that.
Because
even when Shaw graduated
pick.
From the U, he bought her a brand-new blazer. And so I was like, okay, you never gave me child support or nothing, but I'll look over some things.
Except I have a bone to pick with my uncle, because he did not want us to watch monster movies, and that just was against my religion.
No, he did not.
And
even
he
that.
was
strong about that. You did not watch
he would
horror
have
movies, not with him around. Mm-mm.
He would have fit. And just to tell you how my aunt was, Lennis would, because when HBO first came out, there it was a subscription service like it is now, but you know, most people didn't have access to it. You had to live in certain places or, like, a really high-priced apartment or something like that, or condo-type thing. And Aunt Lynn and Uncle Sherman lived in one, and they had HBO because home box office, what it first was called, it was because you could actually see movies that most people would go out to the theater, kind of like they're doing now, with cinema. But before, you know, that was the only way you could see movies like that in your own home. That was big, and I know it was expensive, but Uncle Sherman, he made really good money, and so he and Aunt Lynn lived in really posh places. And so they had HBO, and Aunt Lynn told us that, I can't even remember what movie it was, either The Exorcist or something was on there, and we were like, oh, we want to watch it. And Aunt Lynn's like, okay, as long as it's done before your uncle gets home, you better not tell him. I mean, Uncle Sherman made everyone toe the line about how kids were supposed to be treated, what they could watch and all that. And, and I just used to complain, like, I don't understand, Uncle Sherman. He said, Brenda, that stuff is going to work on you someday. You don't know it yet, but that stuff can come back. It's going to be working on your mind. You're too young. You don't need to be watching all that stuff. I didn't agree with him. Yeah. Probably a good thing I'm not a parent, because I don't know if I would let my kids see stuff.
Yeah, that was one thing. That was it, protective of the girls, and don't be watching no horror movies. Yep, that was him. But anyway, I wanted to give him kudos.
My brother really appreciated that he would watch out for us. Oh, yeah. Mark talked about that the other day. Mark and I think, talked about that a couple of weeks ago. About, he's like, yeah, Uncle Sherman, don't...
Mm-mm.
Don't do anything Uncle Sherman did. It's like, you may do this, but don't hit no girls. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, heck, for hitting me. I guess it was me one time. Oh, boy. But, you know, Mark, you know, we're just brother and sister. That's what we, you know, we do. But anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Daddy Joe, he loves my grandmother. He loved my grandmother, and he pursued her like the Dickens. When she she didn't know anything about him. He was a friend of a friend who kept trying to. They were trying to, I think, sort of fix her up, even though she didn't want to be fixed up, because she was separated from her husband because he was not very nice. So, Mama Rena, she said, Joe just wouldn't stop talking to me. He took up all my time the whole night because they had went to a dance. And she said, I just didn't really want to be bothered, but he talked to me. And I said, you guys didn't dance? She said, I didn't want to dance. And then she said the next time they went out, like a week later, her friends, like, you know, got her to go out, and Joe was there. And she said he talked to me all night that night, and he basically said that he just wanted them to be exclusive. So, yeah, he jumped on Mama Rena. Not like that, but he decided that was his woman, like, in less than 2 weeks. Kind of like you, Nina, you and Porky Pig, and they were married till the day he died. The day he died. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
Daddy Joe was
black. Yeah,
he was black.
One time I told him, I said, why are you married to her? Why don't you divorce her? You're a good-looking man. You're a good man. Why are you divorced her? Boy, that man told me, don't you ever tell me that again about your mama. I love your mama. Don't you ever say that again. But I just felt like Daddy was such a good man. He deserves so much better. But whatever.
Well, there's things that, you know, see, you don't understand certain things. You're coming from a really, you're coming from kind of a juvenile attitude, you know, what it is that you think. And there's so much more to them than you realize. Just like there's stuff about you and Uncle Sherman that Chabanet, she doesn't know everything, and she doesn't really understand. She doesn't know the whole romance part of it and why you guys came together and all that. You may have told her some things, but children don't really get that all the time. I mean, as much as I know about my parents, they've never really discussed how, you know, I mean, I have some hints on how they got together, but and I know that they did love each other. I mean, they're still involved with each other in their way till the day he died. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I will say it. So you done with Daddy Joe?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, my father. I'll talk about my father who passed in February. He was something else. The best stories I can tell about my dad, the way he was, like my dad was the kind of guy, and this is the truth. If you had fallen overboard, if you've fallen overboard from a boat, and you're, you know, boats are going, it's like, Dad, you know, help, you know, to throw out the lifesaver. Dad would be like, swim for it and put hair in your chest. And Dad, he just, when I tell him, I said, that's what kind of dad you are. And he thought that was hilarious. He would just laugh. He goes, yeah. And I said, Dad. And he goes, what? I said, I'm a girl. I don't want hair on my chest, Dad. He was just tickled with that one. And he gave me all kinds of wisdoms. My dad's way was sometimes seem harsh, but he would, well, my friends like to call him a curmudgeon, and they like to believe that I am too, but all I am is sweetness and light, just a human girl child angel. But my daddy, like Aunt Lynn, I mean, my daddy was, that was my daddy. I absolutely adored him. When I was little girl, I would just run out of my little bed and jump on his chest in the morning. I love my daddy. And I used to be with my mom when she would drop him off at the post office, because he worked at the post office. And I remember the first time I saw them kiss, and I was just sitting there underneath them in the car, and I saw that their tongues had gone into each other's mouths and separated. And I told my brothers and sisters, like, they had their tongues in each other's mouth. And Mark and Cheryl, like, you're a liar. I mean, my parents still, when they would drop each other off, I mean, we're talking about people who still loved each other. I mean, David told me stories about before I was born, where Dad had, I don't know what, he had made Mom cry, and he said that Mom was pregnant with Mark, and Dad had picked Mom up and carried her up the stairs, and it's like, he picked Mom up? My dad was tall guys, like 6'2" or 6'3", something like that, and yeah, he had a commanding presence. And he was just fun to me. I mean, he was fun to me. And when I he just meant the world to me. So, you know, if he looked at me like I did something wrong, I would just cringe under that. But he would watch me when everyone else was gone, when I was really little, before I started to be taken care of by my great-grandmother or my great-aunts and all that. But, yeah, Dad, it was just always fun to be with him, because he would just, the things he would say. One time we were driving down this one road, it was Rainier Avenue, and he was looking up through the windshield, and he said, look at those clouds. He said, you see what them clouds are doing? He said, you just don't see clouds like that anywhere except the Pacific Northwest. And I just looked over at him, and I said, Dad, I said, you were the only dad for me. And he goes, what? And I said, you were the only one that could have been my dad. You're just the only one. And he goes, go on. He's just one of those magnanimous people. Dad could sit down at a piano, and he'd start playing some jazz. Like, you're just like, wow. We didn't even know Dad played like that. Just like, out of nowhere, he'd just start doing that. And then it's like, then he'd stop. And he goes, I don't know. I don't know if I got any more in me. And I said, Dad, play some more. He goes, maybe. And then he'd play like a little bit more. And then he'd stop and he goes, I don't know. Maybe I could play a little more if, you know, I had a drink. What? And he said, that's how you get free drinks. You go to a bar, you know, sit down at the piano, and you just play enough until they buy you a drink, and, you know, you play a little bit more until your drink's gone, and then you're just like, I don't think there's any more in there. He just had a way of coming up with stuff that was just, I don't know, he was somebody else. He was born in Seattle, in a southern family. Our family is from the South, Southern family too, but he was actually born in Seattle. And the house is still standing where he was born. Yep, and I could go by it today if I wanted to. But he was one of those dads that, I mean, this is my perspective and I am the youngest. He never ever talked about He always seemed to know who we were. I mean, he's talked to me about all my siblings, and he talked about them in ways that I don't even know if they knew how much Dad thought about them. He really thought about them. Even my oldest brother, who had a different dad, he talked about him, and I'm sure that they had their issues because he was a different dad, but I didn't know all my life until I was, you know, much older that Dad, like in my teens, that Dad wasn't the same dad for all of us because he never talked that way to us. He never ever seemed to talk like he didn't father all of us, even though he didn't.
And, your dad was a remarkable man, Brenda. You're very, very lucky. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have a caller online.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Here we go. Area code 917, you're on the line with Linus and Brenda. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Lola.
Lola?
Yes.
Okay, L-O-L-A. Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to, I'm feeling the urge that I need a change, and I'm just trying to figure out how to proceed. And I was just wondering if you had any insight. I'd like to, I don't know, maybe a change in location. I know I'm going to have to get, I feel like my job is going to be ending, you know, soon. So I'm trying to figure out where I should go from there.
Okay, I see your job ending in 2 months, and I'm also seeing water. So let me see where you're supposed to be. Do you work around water?
Well, I work in the city, but I just, I guess it's surrounded by water, but... I think a lot of cities are.
I'm getting a man, but there's confusion there. I'm trying to, about the job. Something about this man would like to hire you.
I'm just trying to see where I'm going to go next.
Like networking. Almost like he knows some people you know that you're networking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. I guess that's where I'm picking him up, like he's helping you network
I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm really networking that much, but I just feel that my job...
No, Josiah is.
Oh, okay, yes. Maybe
that's
it's my roommate.
I,
Okay, yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out my next step before this job. I have a feeling that this job is going to end. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go next and what I should do or what's going to happen. That's my feeling. I could be wrong.
Okay, I just got housekeeping. Job and
housekeeping. I don't know. I'm not a housekeeper.
Housekeeping, like to work for hotels. That's what I
saw. No, not my thing.
Hotels. How come you're not in sales?
I don't enjoy sales.
Really? I mean, or some kind of position where you're in public speaking. You have a really strong sort of leadership type spirit about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering why you're not taking advantage of that. Is there some reason? Or because I'd be really surprised if you told me you were afraid of public speaking.
Well, I'm not a public speaker, but I don't do that kind of work. But I'm
but
more
you
in the
would
arts.
Do it, right? If the opportunity presented itself.
Well, not really. Maybe I don't know. I just don't see myself as a public speaker. It's not something that I really have interest in.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the energy that comes off of you is not the kind of person who kind of wants to work in, well, at least this is what I'm getting, that you're not the kind of person who's sort of like a cubicle person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get any sensation from you that you're the kind of person that sort of sits around and is bossed. You're either slated, your spirit is really more slated for a leadership type position or managerial type position. And I have to think that the only person sort of keeping you from moving in that direction would be you.
I don't really know where to go next. I'm just trying to figure out my next move.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had insight into that, because I'm just concerned. I'm not sure really where to go next. But I want to make a move. It's not that I don't want to. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
What, you know. I have no problems making a move.
Right.
I just don't know where to go to or how to proceed.
I need something a little bit more specific. What kind of job are you interested in looking for? Maybe that'll help me.
Okay, I guess I'm looking more for, at least I feel that right now my interest lies more in maybe art gallery work.
Okay.
Maybe even having my own gallery or something like that.
Oh, what have I just been telling you, sweetie?
She just told you about sales. Don't you have to sell artwork?
Well, I really don't want to deal with the sales end. I'd rather just curate shows.
But you've been to galleries, right? And you've been to gallery showings?
Yeah, I put them together already. I do that now.
Okay, so you do basically, you're managing stuff, right? Like I said, like you know, but you're also want to be in charge, right?
Security. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of sales type thing with that position. I know that when I worked with galleries, when I had work, and also we used to manage some of the artists that came through where I did my glass blowing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're always trying to do things. I mean, even where the artist wanted to put their picture, it was trying to sell them that this wall was okay for the show versus another wall where, you know, we could have three other pieces because they were, you know, their egos were so strong. And see, that makes a lot of sense about you. You can handle that. You can handle the different sensitivity, so to speak, of artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would...
But what should I do to go to the next thing? Like, what do I do? Like, I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, do I start applying for gallery jobs, which I haven't found any that I fit, or should I just start my own? And then how do I do that if I start my own?
Well, if I were you, I would try to shadow somebody for a little bit while you're still working. I really would. I think something's getting ready to open up for you, because I have a real strong, overwhelming feeling about you being in that kind of position. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have a really, and like I said, I just can't help but think you're the one in the way, so that means you might want to just open your whole mindset about, don't worry about how it's going to happen, and just go do it. As in, like, I would shadow someone. I would ask somebody or tell them. Matter of fact, I would even just start out. I'm looking to open my own gallery. Do you think that I could shadow you and how you handle your clients? I'm not trying to take your clients, but I know that this is the job for me, and so I want to do that. There's a lot of people that would be so welcome about it. You could help them out for their gallery openings, and you don't know who you meet.
Right.
Which you've already done, but they can actually help you network further. I think it's not something that you would need to do to school, but you really need to get in there and network. You don't find something's going to open up where you didn't expect it. I really do believe that.
Is this going to happen? How long do you think it will take for something to open up?
Well, let me tell you what I picked up. I picked up fall. Two people work with and in gallery work. And this is what I first got from Spirit was December, maybe November, but December was the first month that I got. And in the fall, you and somebody else will go together to do a gallery. You know, it's going to be small. That must be why I'm seeing the water. It must be down near the waterfront. But you're going to work on this together. It's going to be small, but you and somebody else are going to go in together and do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't become active until December. So maybe you're using the prior months to help set it up to get it going so you can open by the holidays.
So how do I make money if this position that I'm in right now closes up? How do I make in the interim?
I would see what other jobs are still in that field that you're in. That's open to you. I would look for jobs in the field that you're in, because Brenda's right, that is opening for you. So the more people you talk about in the field that you're in, which you want to do anyway, there's other jobs. I see other studios that would hire you or artwork, so I don't really see a problem for you. You have 2 months. I see this job ending in 2 months. So you have July and August to set yourself up for another position in the same work that you're in. Only this time it's a possibility you're going to meet somebody that's going to network and help you to accomplish this by December. So stay in the field.
So this like a business partnership?
Oh, yes,
like
of course. Yeah. There is a man who will
really
back you as an investor.
Yeah, you definitely need to get out to these gallery opens, and you need to start socializing with people there at the, you know, the administration level, and just really tell them where you're headed. And you're gonna. The artistic community has, you know, there's a lot of people. You know how to shine it on. If you've been doing this with these artists, you know how to shine it on and just let them know, listen, I'm really looking to get into this. Do you have any positions? Do you know of any positions? You know, just so that I can, you know, get myself, get my hooks in, or however you're going to say it. But, yeah, and look to schools, too, that do gallery openings and have new artists. You're going to definitely want to go to the venues with the new artists so that you can actually connect with people that you are going to start representing in that gallery.
So do you think I should leave? I'm sorry, but do you think I should leave the state I'm in and move somewhere else, or
No. I don't know. Lennox, what do you say? Because I don't...
No. Where she's at right now, she's in the right area to make these accomplishments that she wants to do.
The opportunity
you may think that it's time for you to move and certainly do whatever it is that you're going to do. Sometimes people think leaving is the way to go and they end up right back to the same place. It's really your choice, but personally, this, as far as thinking, I'm not coming from a think, but as far as the energy that surrounds you, I believe that you're actually where you need to be. You just need to put more effort in with the people you need to be around. And if you're doing what you say you have been doing, you're headed there.
Okay.
And that job ending, it may not necessarily be them ending it. It might actually be you because you found the right position to step up to the next step.
It's a stair-step situation
you're in.
Right.
If I'm reading it at this level, then people in the field will read it too.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'm a little scared.
No, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Open.
I can't stop worrying about where my future is going.
Be open. I mean, I'm not kidding. If you were to do that book, if you were to read that book, What Color Is Your Parachute, and you were to do all the steps in there and the exercises, I bet you would find that you have most of the skills. You know, you might have to brush up a few. And really, it's not so much your skills as much as the networking. And nobody can really prepare you for that. You just have to do it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really do have that. It was a perfect, when you say curator, that totally fits. You're managing the art gallery. And if you
I enjoy it, and I like putting the shows together. It's very creative for me.
Yeah. Have to do the artwork, but you can manage it really well, and you'll do it well enough that people will remember you. That's why it's really good to get into galleries that show a lot of new artists. Try to connect with places like the Art Institute. If you guys have gallery walk like we have here, go to the gallery walks, you know, meet the artists that are showing at different galleries and explain what you're looking to do and figure out what you're planning to show.
Right. Okay.
You need to decide that. That's going to point you in the direction you need to go in. Are you going to, you know, it's like some people wanted to represent, you know, Renaissance type work. Somebody wanted to do something that was really more funky and innovative and three-dimensional. And some people just want to do paintings. Some want to just do sculptures.
Right, right.
You know, are you going to want to get involved with glass? You know,
right.
If you are, definitely need to get to the glass blowing shops that are in the area and get to know some of the artists.
So do you think I'd have my own business eventually, or?
I think that is still your choice, but you could easily do it.
Okay.
You could easily do it.
I would just need to have a partner, probably.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can find venture capitalists that are looking to get involved with that, or somebody who has an art collection that might want you to manage a little gallery of it.
I see.
You know,
okay.
Keep stepping up. I used to know a lot of cats with a bunch of artwork in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I met them all through the different artistic venues that I was involved in, glass blowing. Met some of them when I worked at a hotel, and I got to see some of their art collections that were massive. They didn't always know what to do with it all. They couldn't even fit it all in their house. So there's treasures out there. It's just up to you to decide. Hey, you know what? Make a decision. Here's how the way to really step it up. Start thinking about what you'd want to name your gallery. Start thinking about what kind of artists you want to deal with. Come up with some business cards. of the name that you decide you're going to want to use, and really start looking in that. The more you keep moving that direction, the closer you're going to get.
Right, right. So another idea I had was to have maybe a publication as well. In addition, is that something that's viable, you think?
Oh yeah, you could support that. People start out a lot of their.
I've already done one. I've done 3 issues, but I wanted to. I stopped doing it, but I want to continue it again. So,
Vola.
Yeah.
Consistency is going to get you the worm every time.
What is it?
Consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're consistent in the art world, then people actually believe you're serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
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 And all right. So can I just ask one more question? Is that possible? I just wanted to find out about relationships because I haven't had a relationship for a while.
I'm going to leave that one with Linus. Go ahead, Linus.
You don't really want one, do you?
I do.
I don't see you really. You do? Okay.
I do.
I wasn't picking that up. I wasn't picking that up.
I do.
I thought your business, though, was very strong.
Well, yeah, I want a business. I want my own business. But I do want a relationship as well.
If you network right,
there
you
is a guy coming up. Go ahead, Brenda. I see a guy coming up.
I was going to say, if she networks this right, she could kill that 2 birds with 1 stone.
Ah,
I like that.
That's
yay.
What I felt, too. I felt that, too, that the guy she's going to meet is when she goes around talking to these different artists. In fact, he is an artist, a little bit older.
Okay.
I think he's like maybe around 45 or so. But, yeah, he's an artist, and you meet him through this. Going around and check on things. Yeah, Brenda, you're right on point. We agree on that.
Okay, and he's very cool and, like, just a good match for me then.
Well, I don't know about that, but I see that you meet a gentleman that is an artist, and you and him, you talk. I mean, you have choices in life, so that's up to you two if it goes any further. I just see that you're meeting him, and you two are talking. So I don't know. But I do believe this gentleman, when you meet him, he will assist you in wanting to open your own gallery.
Oh, okay.
You are going to have one man that's going to invest in that gallery as an investor, so.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Brenda.
Great.
I'm sorry. I cut you off. What did you see, Brenda?
No, I said I was going to leave that to you.
Oh, okay. There is a man coming up, but you'll meet him through your excursions of going around checking out these galleries or going to some of the art shows. And he is a tall gentleman. Tall and, like, he's about 6 feet, 6'1", medium built, medium to slender. And he's got a foreign name. I'm picking that up. So now that helps you even more. To be more specific, it's a foreign name. So When you meet this gentleman that's an artist with a foreign name, take a minute out, talk to him.
Okay, and is he American or is he a foreigner?
He's an American.
Okay.
With a foreign name, yeah.
Okay. All right, well,
One last thing I need to say to you, it's coming up. Okay, listen. You know, you say you don't like to do sales. You're going to need to sell yourself, right? So, remember, you're selling yourself, right?
Okay.
I'm not talking about hooking. You're selling yourself to the artist that you're going to meet that, I'm the best to represent you or to house your work. And
right.
You're selling yourself to the people who are willing to invest. So you need to remember that every time that you go in. And another thing that came to me while you were talking was this. When it comes to the artist, don't go up and say, oh, hey, you know, I think that this is da-da-da-da. Just ask them to tell you about their piece.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make sure you keep a notebook in your pocket and you write out their sentiments about their work. Because one thing artists really love is that somebody, quote-unquote, gets them. If you allow them to tell you what's going on with their piece and you start to get an idea of who they are, then you can sell them a lot better than if you're trying to tell people what kind of piece it is or what it is. Okay?
Right, right. That makes sense.
So that's just something that came to me while you guys are talking, and that pretty much is it for me.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank
you
so much.
I know you can do it.
Yeah,
oh,
thanks
you're
for
most
spending
welcome,
so much
Lola.
Time with me. I appreciate it. I know I took the time, so thank you.
You're
well, that's
welcome.
Okay. You're important too, honey. Please.
Thank you. Okay,
you're
I feel
welcome.
Really
you
good.
Have a
okay.
Wonderful week. Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Brenda, we're coming to the close of the hour, so I guess we better talk about some shows. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They had to get out of there. So let's talk about tomorrow's show, L&B Empowerment.
Okay, tomorrow's show is, we're doing a three-part series. Tomorrow's part one on power. We're talking about the women's power and unleashing that power tomorrow. And then part two will be next week. Part three will be the one after that. But part two in 2 weeks, well, next week we'll be talking about men and their power. And then the final part, 2 weeks from now, will be about men and women together and the power and how that all culminates. So tomorrow in our show is at a new time. It's at 7 p.m.
Yep. 7 p.m. Pacific time, folks. And, 10 p.m. Eastern, yeah. Go ahead, Bryn.
The next show
okay.
is going to be on Tuesday, and that's BYO Brilliance. And we'll be talking about the brilliance of belonging to different organizations, groups, whatever. You know, it's like find your little tribe, whether it's Rotary or Toastmasters or Sierra, Mountaineers Club. There's, you know, you should find one. Get involved and open up your life. There's no reason to be lonely. And if one doesn't work for you, go to another one. There's hundreds and thousands of them out there, folks. There's organizations for where you work, for where you play, all kinds. And Lennox is involved in millions of them.
I'm an entrepreneur. This is so true. Okay, and then we come to Wednesday in the studio with Lennox at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we talk about entertainment news, news of the weird, and sports, of course. You got to do sports. I got to keep you guys up on sports, men and women. And then whatever the hot topic is that week. So whatever is going on for the week that's hot in the news or everybody's talking about, we will be discussing it. And then come Thursday, we have Filmcology with Brenda at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 Eastern. And she'll be discussing
the movie The Professional with Jean Reno. And it's Natalie Portman's first feature film. She's a really little thing, and it's a movie that covers a few things, crime, hitman, and a little orphan girl, and how they make a family or learn to love each other and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah.
All right. And then we come to Friday, which is Friday Traffic Jam. With Linus at 5 p.m. to 6. I'm on for an hour now. And each week I try and do something special with music. So last week was classic rock, and we rocked it. This week we're going to have blues. So I'm going to be bringing the blues for an hour with you this Friday. So be sure and join in for that. And then Saturday we have Time to Love with Miss Lydia at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Mountain and 5 Eastern, and her show this Saturday is about, do you remember, Brenda? I forgot.
No, can you look that up?
No, I'm sorry, but, I mean, I was on the show with her, and I can't even think of it right now. Sorry. But anyway,
show,
it
but
will be
know.
A good show, believe me, because everything that Lydia does wraps around love. And last week's show, in fact, yesterday's show was about nurturing with nature, and that was really good.
really
it was a great
good
show.
Yeah.
It was a great show. And she even talked about going to the grocery store to find your nature. If you can't get around, you can find nature in the grocery store with the flowers and the fruit. Just connect.
Yeah.
Go outside. She did a wonderful show.
She sure did.
There's a lot of listeners, too. Go back and check these shows out for archive, everybody, which a lot of people do with psychic shows. So, you know,
yeah.
You may find some information helpful for your life, too.
Amen.
Brings
we
us
did.
Back
we
to
had
next...
a... Go ahead.
That brings us to your next show next week.
Yeah, back to Psychic Readings next Sunday at 3 p.m. with Lennis and Brenda. So we just, I mean, it was a good show today because today our show was dedicated to Father's Day, and so we all got to speak about our fathers, and that was good. And we also had a caller, Miss Lola, and thank you, Miss Lola, for calling in and being with us on the show today. Now, remember, this is the Essence of Success Radio Network. We have 7 shows a week every day. There's a show on every week. You won't miss it. If you can't get into Blog Talk Radio all the time, you can go to theessenceofsuccess.com, and you can listen to archive or current shows on my website. That's theessenceofsuccess.com. And also go into Facebook. LMB Empowerment has a Facebook page. Lydia has a Time to Love page. Brenda has a page. Filmcology, right, Brenda?
Yes.
Okay, and Filmcology page on Facebook, and you will also find the Essence of Success Network page on Facebook. So just to let you know, you can reach us. And also, I'm sorry I don't have the Nina's website, email address. But if you go to any of those sites, LMB Empowerment, Filmcology, Time to Love, or the Essence of Success Network on Facebook, we'll be more than glad to address any questions, ideas, creative, whatever. Just leave it on one of those pages with us, and we will address it. So. Anyway, other than that, look forward to tomorrow night, LMB Empowerment at 7 p.m., and I'm going to close the show out. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Brenda.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, Nina, Lola.
Yes. Thank you, Nina. And again, happy anniversary to her.
Absolutely.
And him. 40 years. Boy, that's something to talk about, y'all. All righty, here we've got Anna with Angels, because that's what we all are. We're angels to one another.
Angels.
At least we try to be, huh? Hope so.
Angels.
Oh, and also remember, give somebody a smile or a hug this week. It works in any language and any culture.
Thank you.
And again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Within my life with you, heaven opened up its gates, and peace of mind came shining through.